This evening, we're in Mark chapter 10, and we're considering this account of the healing of this blind man, Bartimaeus. And we're going to see together the need only Christ can meet. As we pick the story up, Jesus is travelling south from the north towards Jerusalem. You can see that back in verse 32. And he's arrived with his disciples at Jericho in verse 46. The same Jericho whose walls fell down in the Old Testament story. Jericho is in the Jordan Valley. It's a few miles north of the Dead Sea. And Jerusalem is about a one-day walk away, high up in the hills to the southwest. Immediately after the story that we're considering this evening, Jesus will arrive in Bethpage and Bethany, two small villages just a few miles outside Jerusalem. And in verse 11 of the very next chapter, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey to begin the last week of his earthly life before he will be crucified. So this event we're looking at comes right towards the end of the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's, in Mark's Gospel, it's the last recorded healing of this type that we'll see Jesus perform. It's during this same visit to Jericho that Jesus will transform the life of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Mark doesn't record that in his Gospel, but Luke does in chapter 19 of his. Of the lives that Jesus touched and transformed at the end of his earthly ministry, here in Jericho, one was a despised tax collector and the other a blind beggar. That's quite interesting and also very encouraging. One was a somebody who was seriously rich, but who was a crook and a con man, and everyone hated him. The other was a nobody, destitute, who, for the most part, most people probably ignored. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. And it doesn't matter who or what you are, either in your own eyes or anyone else's. The issue is, do you realise that you're lost? The Bible says we're all lost. Lost from God, because we've wandered far away from him and we are destitute in our sins. And Jesus came for those who would realise their need of him, like Zacchaeus did and like this man Bartimaeus did. Often when I preach, I have a number of points in my messages, typically three, as a means of breaking down the sermon into manageable chunks, which hopefully help to guide you through what I have to say. Well, I'm doing that this evening, but instead of having 3 points, I actually have 10, but don't worry. Most of them are quite short, and they're actually just little headings as we make our way verse by verse through this very short story to learn together, I hope and trust, some important lessons for us today. So we'll begin at verses 46 and 47. They came to Jericho. And as Jesus came out of Jericho with his disciples, with a great multitude following them, blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the road, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So the first thing we note in verse 47 is that Bartimaeus heard. He heard that it was Jesus. Now, as a blind man, his main contact with the world is his hearing, along with touch and smell. I've mentioned this before. Many years ago, I worked in an office where a lady called Pat was employed as a telephonist. Pat was blind. She also happened to have a very gorgeous golden Labrador guide dog who would curl up and fall asleep under her desk and snore, sometimes quite loudly. I can't remember the dog's name, but I remember the lady. She was Pat. And one day I walked past Pat's desk. She worked as the telephonist in the building. She was busy transferring a call. And I walked past, so I wasn't able to acknowledge her as she was busy working. But she finished what she was doing and she immediately called out, "Good morning, Ian." Well, of course, I stopped and turned around. "Well, good morning, Pat. How on earth did you know that that was me?" Well, it turns out she recognised my aftershave, because apparently not many of the other men wore that particular aftershave. And it was a little bit of an educated guess on Pat's part, but she was right, because her sense of smell, as well as her hearing, was very acute indeed. Bartimaeus has heard, he's probably heard all kinds of conversations as people walk past him. If you wanted to find out about a few people in Jericho, old blind Bartimaeus was probably a good guy to go and talk to. Has he heard conversations about this Jesus of Nazareth as people have walked past him? Very likely he has. Maybe he's overheard some of the stories people have been telling, some of the things that this Jesus has done. This man who's performed amazing miracles. Perhaps he's already heard of the great healings that have been taking place. And now, here is this Jesus going right past him. What an opportunity for someone like Bartimaeus. I wonder, have you heard about this Jesus of Nazareth? The Jesus in the Bible? Have you heard about him before? Or perhaps are you hearing about him for the very first time as I introduce him to you from this story this evening? I wonder what your response will be as you hear about Jesus. Well, let's have a look at the response that we see in Bartimaeus. Because secondly, in verse 47, we see that he cries out for mercy. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I don't suppose he could really do much else, could he? He can't pick his way through the crowd and touch Jesus like we read of one lady doing. He can't see which direction Jesus is going in and really run ahead to meet him. He can't climb a tree to get a better view like Zacchaeus did. He can't invite him over for a meal to get to know him better like Matthew did in chapter 2. He does only the thing that he can do, really. He cries out. And interestingly, he cries out for mercy. He simply asks that Jesus would meet him and deal with him in his great need. In New Testament days, it was frequently taught in Jewish society that things like blindness, that was a punishment from God. It was an act of judgment on God's part. It was kind of a curse, a penalty for some sin in that person's life. Perhaps Bartimaeus has had that accusation put to him. Now, Jesus actually teaches elsewhere that that simply isn't true. But maybe that's what Bartimaeus has been led to understand. Maybe that is a factor in him crying out for mercy, besides from his actual physical blindness. In calling out for mercy, Bartimaeus is asking Jesus to consider even him, a cursed man, and to deal with him with mercy. To deal with him in a way that he knows he probably really doesn't deserve, despite whatever it was that he may have done that's caused his blindness. And you know, you and I can learn from Bartimaeus. We must do the same. You must do the same if you never have. This is all that any of us can ever do, to call out to Christ for mercy. Because in our lives, there are many things that do deserve God's curse upon us. Now, it hasn't resulted in physical blindness, but it does leave us condemned as guilty by God, before a holy God in whom there is no sin, only purity. We fall so far short of the mark for which God has made us and that he requires of us. We're so far short of that, it's just not even worth measuring. We think in our pride that we have this great degree of goodness within us, but before such a holy God, we really don't. If you've ever watched some of the jumping events, particularly things like long jump and triple jump in the Olympics, that we missed those this year, didn't we? But if you think to those kinds of sports, as the athlete runs down the running track to make their jump, across the track, there is this takeoff board as they make their jump, and their aim is to plant their foot on that takeoff board as they leap. But their foot must not go beyond the edge of the takeoff board. And if it does, then it's a foul and the jump doesn't count. They don't even bother measuring it. It's a jump that's disqualified immediately because they stepped over the line. And to check that their foot does not go beyond the takeoff board, there's a strip of clay on the far side of that board, and that will catch any imprint of the runner's shoe if they overstep. When a long jumper performs a really bad jump, they'll sometimes be so disappointed in themselves that they walk back and stand on the clay to make it a foul. Don't even bother measuring that jump, they're telling the judges. It's not worth it. Our lives are like that before God. There's no goodness in us worth measuring compared to the holiness of God. We deserve only God's condemnation. But the Bible exhorts all of us. On the basis of that, the Bible exhorts all of us to cry out to God for mercy. God longs that we would cry out to him for mercy, because he is a merciful God, ready to forgive and to save. To cry out for mercy, that he would remember us in our sins and not treat us as our sins deserve, but instead to deal with us out of the abundance of his kindness and compassion and his grace, because we don't deserve it. I wonder, have you done that? Well, thirdly, in our story at verse 48, we see that the crowd try to silence Bartimaeus. Many of them want him to be quiet. Maybe after all the big issues that Jesus has been talking about, they thought a poor blind man would be far too insignificant. Jesus is not going to be concerned over a man like Bartimaeus. Maybe they don't want a beggar to be associated with something that they are interested in. Perhaps they really did think that Jesus would have no interest in the likes of him. Well, we've not been able to this year, But several times a year, ordinarily, we go into the city centre to preach the gospel. And I've often observed a group of friends walking past where preaching is taking place. And there'll be one or two in that group, and it's clear that they want to stop and listen. But the others will turn on them, sometimes in ridicule. And they will urge them not to listen and to keep on walking. And usually they crumble under the persuasion of their friends, and on they walk. But sometimes they will ignore their friends and they will stop and listen. Now, perhaps you will encounter, perhaps you have encountered people who do that to you. Friends, colleagues, members of your own family. And in terms of any interest that you may have ever shown in hearing about this Jesus of Nazareth, all you get from them is maybe ridicule or sarcasm, some leg pulling, maybe even scorn. And they'll try to stop you in your consideration of the Lord Jesus Christ. What on earth do you want to think about him for? What on earth can he do for you? I want you to look at the example of Bartimaeus. He heard. He cried out for mercy. The crowd tried to silence him. But fourthly, in verse 48, we see that he persisted in calling. He cried out all the more, perhaps raising his voice even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus did the right thing. He kept on asking. In fact, it would seem that he cried out now with an even greater intensity than he did the first time around. I want to encourage you, if you have this sense of needing to know more about this man, Jesus, or if you know in your heart that you do need that salvation and forgiveness that Jesus offers, don't be put off. Don't be put off by anyone or anything. If you know you need to call out to Christ, call out, and call out even more. Because look at what happened next in verse 49. Jesus heard his call and stopped. Jesus stood still for Bartimaeus, even him. This is fantastic because you see, Bartimaeus, in his blindness, was not able to make his own way to Jesus. Actually, what he really needed was for Jesus to stop and come to him. And Jesus stopped because he hears when people make an earnest call to him. Last Wednesday evening, we were in Romans chapter 5, and we read verse 6, where it says that when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We have no strength. We're not able to save ourselves. In our spiritual state, in our sin, our condition is so poor and weak. We do not have within ourselves that which is required for us to boldly approach Christ. We have no desire to do it. We need him to hear our cry, that he might come to us and deal with us. And that's exactly what we see pictured in this story. As Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, it's all he can do. But from there, once Jesus has heard him, Jesus will take care of the rest. And we see, point number 6, in verse 49, Jesus calls Bartimaeus to himself. That's what happens. And actually, that's what all of us need. And that's what Jesus actually does. He calls us to himself. We can't possibly approach God in the filth of our sin. But he calls sinners to repentance, and he calls sinners to himself. And we find that we love him because he first loved us. And there's a power and there is an authority in that call which Christ issues. And it's on the basis of that call that Bartimaeus now is able to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I may do the same, because as we hear the gospel being explained, as we hear people talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something within us urging us to come to Christ, drawing us to him. That's Christ himself who does that, drawing us nearer, nearer, nearer. Did you notice how Bartimaeus addressed Jesus, Son of David? Might it be that God has already begun to do a work of grace in the heart of this blind beggar? Might it be, actually, that God has already begun to convince this poor, needy man that this Jesus of Nazareth is indeed God's promised Messiah, the promised descendant of David? I think indeed God has been doing that in the heart of this man. The Bible says that our minds are blinded to the things of God, and that the natural man or woman, in their sin, they cannot even begin to comprehend the things of God, because these things are spiritually discerned and we have no spiritual life or wisdom or knowledge. So might it actually be that even before Jesus asked for Bartimaeus to be brought to him, God by his Spirit has already begun drawing Bartimaeus to himself? Because that is how God works. That is a work that is necessary that God do in the life of one who will come to Christ. And when you do turn after God in this way, because it does require you to turn to God, it requires you to turn from your sin and turn to God, the Bible gives wonderful promises. Listen to a few of them. We read these words in Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Repent. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Repent. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy on him and abundantly pardon. Jeremiah simply says in chapter 33, call to me and I will answer you. Zechariah, another prophet in the Old Testament, he says this at chapter 13, they'll call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. And the writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament assures us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Chapter 11, verse 6. Why would you not seek after God if you never have before? With all of these wonderful promises that he's given us in his word, he bids you to seek him. He bids you to call out to him. Jesus bid people to come to him. Why would you not do that if you never have? And those of you who are Christians, remember that the way that you begin by crying out to God for mercy is the way that you must continue. Every day we need God's mercy and God's grace. And we see in verse 50 that Bartimaeus responded to Christ's call. Yes, Jesus called him, but Bartimaeus had to go to him, and he did. He responded. He heard that call of Christ, and he got up and he went. And he says he threw aside his garment and rose and came to Jesus. He laid aside that which might have hindered him, his heavy overcoat, so that he could get to Jesus more speedily. Bartimaeus shows us that you must come to Christ without delay. You must come to Christ while you may. That's what you need to do. If through the message of the Bible you can hear God's call to turn from your sin and to trust in Christ, you must cry out to God for mercy and run to him. You must run to the Saviour of men who stands ready to receive you, as we saw in those promises that he's given. Run while you can. Run to him while you still have a today, because you don't even know if you're going to have a tomorrow or a next week. Run to him. In verse 51, and this is point number 8, Jesus asks a question. On first reading, it might seem to be the most ridiculous question for Jesus to ask. What do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus has done so much for so many people. Miracle after miracle, grace after grace, ill people healed, storms stopped in their tracks, water turned into wine, the dead raised to life. Other blind people have already received their sight, and here in front of Jesus is a blind man. He's blind, Jesus, you might be thinking. What do you want me to do for you? What kind of question is that? Actually, it's not a ridiculous question at all. The Bible commentator and teacher Warren Wiersbe puts it like this: Bartimaeus must express himself and give evidence of his faith. What did he really believe Jesus could do for him? It's not simply about coming to Christ, but coming by faith, coming with faith for yourself, that this Jesus really will do something for you, and you are going to trust him for it. You must confess your need and express your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is inviting Bartimaeus to do in front of that vast crowd. Bartimaeus, what is it that you really think I can do for you? Jesus wants to hear it from his own lips. And that's what Bartimaeus did. In verse 51, as we continue, Bartimaeus replies, now first of all, he calls Jesus his master, Rabboni, master. God needs you to hear something that perhaps you've never said before. God needs to hear from your lips and mine this confession: you are God, and I acknowledge you as God. And I come to you as the God that you are, and I want you to be my God. All these years, and I've never acknowledged you. Perhaps you've believed that God is there, but you've certainly not lived as though you believe it. But you need to start to. You need to turn to God. You need to acknowledge Him for who He is, your Lord and your God. And then finally, our tenth and final point in verse 51, Bartimaeus acknowledges his great need and asks for what only Christ can do for him, that he might have his sight. For Bartimaeus, the big issue is his lack of sight. But remember that in Bartimaeus, in his mind, perhaps asking for his sight restored, does also mean to him that Jesus must deal with this that perhaps caused his blindness in the first place. That Jesus could deal with this curse which is upon him. So perhaps for Bartimaeus it is more than just physical blindness, but that he might be released from this curse. And he can. And he is released by the only one who can release him. Bartimaeus has his physical sight restored that day, but he also had his heart restored. He received spiritual sight and light. He was brought out of the darkness of sin, as well as the darkness of his eyes, and he was brought into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus acknowledges his faith in verse 52. Like Bartimaeus, our great need is to have our hearts restored, to receive spiritual sight and light, to see Jesus as he really is, to be brought out of the darkness of our sin and into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Well, Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus for mercy, and so must you. Bartimaeus received from Jesus Christ what only Christ can give. You may have that too. Pardon and forgiveness for your sins, and the promise and hope of life everlasting. And the last thing that we see of Bartimaeus is what? That he's following Jesus. Are you? If you do, you'll receive and you'll know God's forgiveness. You'll be given a new heart and a new nature. And from that point onward, you won't desire your own way anymore, but you'll seek after God's way. You'll be given understanding so that you can start to make sense of the Bible. You'll be given a new character so that people can see the difference that God is making in your life. And God will change your desires and your affections so that you seek after Him and the things that please Him. You'll receive a heart that loves God and seeks His will. You'll know the joy of sins forgiven. You'll be made to be a child of God and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus in Mark chapter 10 is on His way to Jerusalem. He'll be there very soon. His life, very soon, will come to an end. Wicked men will fulfill God's purposes by arresting Him on trumped up charges, and Jesus would be put to death on a Roman cross. An innocent man, who is God, will die. Why does the life of Jesus end in that way? Well, his earthly life at least. Well, in Romans chapter 5, we were looking at these verses during the week, we read that Christ died for the ungodly. That through him God demonstrates his love for us. Because while we were still in our sins, Christ died for us, that we now might be justified, that we might be put in right standing before God, that we might be declared to be not guilty and no longer under God's condemnation because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in the shedding of his blood. When we were enemies, We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. We could never reconcile ourselves to God. So God actually does it for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a most amazing piece of news, which is why the Bible calls it good news. It's remarkable. This amazing grace and mercy that God has shown us through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, the story of Bartimaeus begins at verse 46, but I didn't read verse 45. Jesus speaking. The Son of Man, that's the title he used for himself. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, to pay the penalty for our sins. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And today he continues to call out to sinners to repent and to trust in him, that they would call out to him for mercy and forgiveness. He's still calling. The question is, have you called out to him?